Sorry, we're gonna get this started. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and I know traffic is always, everything's under construction in our area. So welcome to our, this is the first meeting of the OHV committees for 2022. Right now, we will call to order. If Mamilia, if you could do a call to order and Pledge of Allegiance roll call.
So the roll call, we have Debbie Burgos, we have Mike Fry, Steve Paxton, Ken Freeman, Kenny Thatcher, Ross Williams, we have Commissioner Marilyn Kirkpatrick in attendance, and myself, Amelia Smith with Clark County.
Thank you very much. Let's see. And then the first part of it is a public comment section period, which is the first opportunity of our meeting set aside for public comment. Anyone wishing to provide comment, please step forward to the podium, or you can stand up where you're at if you it's not a huge space. And clearly state your name and your address for the record. We have an hour and 30 minutes, or actually probably an hour and 15 minutes this evening, and we want to make sure if there's as many people can speak as they want. So if you're a group, we can designate a speaker for your group. There's not a whole lot of people here, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. We usually speak public comments limited to 3 minutes, and sometimes we do impose a two-minute time limit if that's required, but I think that we'll be okay with that as well. If you'd prefer not to speak, but you still want to provide a written comment, please do so, and you can leave it here at the table here, and that will be part of our written record for this evening. This meeting is also being recorded, and it will be posted on the website at a later date for your review. And I think that's it. If we could turn off any phones or so we don't just get interrupted, and I think that should be it. So is there anybody for a public?
So my name's Rayette Martin. Last name M-A-R-T-I-N. I'm at 7524 Mulgrave Court, Las Vegas, Nevada 89113. And I am here just to introduce my organization today. I work with Nevadans for Cultural Preservation. I'm an archaeologist and the executive director. We're a 501c3 nonprofit that was funded in 2013. Our focus is preservation through education. So what we're focused on, a lot of OHV users go out on our public lands to visit historic mines, petroglyphs, and other cultural sites. And we want to maintain access to those cultural sites through stewardship and education of the OHV communities. We cannot expect people to care for things they know nothing about, follow laws they've never heard of, or protect things they cannot identify, but hold, mission to preserve things through education. I was looking through and have some issues for the advisory committee. There's number 22 and 23, and I think our organization may be able to partner or assist. Some of those topics are public education and outreach, good land stewardship, informational signage, and working with partners. So I believe we intersect in those areas as you see the potential for some assistance there. I also want to make you aware of our organization is going to be applying for a Nevada OHV Commission grant this July. Our goal with that grant is to reduce impacts to cultural sites, provide an avenue for the OHV community to actively participate in preservation, and enhance visitor experiences at sites while providing best practices for site visitation. We hope to accomplish this through outreach education, going to clubs, meetings, events, that type of thing. Also, we would like to start an OHV Preservation Ambassador program, where we have interested individuals that are big on history and that kind of thing to adopt a cultural site, a public cultural site, to monitor it and report annually or however often to let us know if there's been any damages. This will help land managers get ahead of any kind of issues. And this isn't specific to OHV damage. This is everybody who visits sites has the potential to cause damage if they're not visiting responsibly. And then we'd also like to do some interpretive plans for cultural sites that are being visited. And that would request that people who are visiting that site, the signage would ask for their assistance in reporting damage, but also give the history of the place why it's important not to damage it, how they can participate in that type of thing. So I just wanted to introduce our organization and let you guys know we exist and provide any assistance if you ever need any.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming out this afternoon. Anyone else for public comment? All right. We will move on to the approval of our minutes for the July 28th, 2021 meeting, which is attached in our materials. If anybody has any corrections or even get a motion to pass or...
Someone make a motion.
I know.
Motion to pass.
A second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Jeff,
you want to post?
I want to state who made the motion, who made the second for the minutes.
Okay. Mike Fry. Mike Fry made the motion to approve. And then we had a trio here, but we'll say Kenny Thatcher was the second. And a motion carried. The second act is approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting, January 26, 2022. Or possible hold, combine, or delete any items. Kenny Freeman makes a motion to approve the agenda. Do we have a second?
Second.
Kenny Thatcher seconds it. All those in favor? And a motion passes. So our agenda has been approved. Bless you.
Thank you.
Informational items for discussion only. The first one, identify emergent issues to be addressed by the committee during future meetings. Does anybody on...
So I don't know if it's a future meeting, but on the county commission, there's a resolution from Commissioner Knapp on the new proposed monument and searchlight. So we've asked, Commissioner Gibson and I have asked how does that impact the OHV committee? So we're waiting for some documentation from the BLM, but here's what we believe is some of it's already wilderness. So that's already not supposed to be used. To some of it's ACECs, so you can still use them during ACECs as long as they were designated trails, and we believe many of those have been designated trails for a long time. So we've asked that at least at Tuesday's meeting that there be a map presented and that discussion be on the record about the OHV stuff so that it stays clear.
This is that. What's the name of it?
Avi.
Weird name.
Avi.
It's that tribal. The tribal one.
Did I not hear that the senator also mentioned Masto that she was behind this as well, giving her support?
Actually, she's not. I spoke to her. I met with her in her office today, which I'll bring up.
The news had it incorrect.
It's Senator Titus.
Titus.
Congresswoman Titus is supporting it, and I'll give my report when I do the issue management about my conversation today with their office.
But if there's any other questions that you want us to ask during the meeting, send them our way so that we can at least make sure that what the record is.
Okay. If it's wilderness area, what's the point of monitoring?
I think it's the consanguinity of the area of the protection, so I'm not sure. I believe there's cultural finds there. I believe that there's some other things that come with it, so.
And Marilyn, you said that there were some designated trails out there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a massive blanket of landscape that goes from the cattle guard in Jean. It's pretty much and that fence that goes right along. Prior to the radio tower over there, you've got a feel for that area. Over that saddle, all the way down to Laughlin.
There's actually...
And across the searchlight.
So the trails have actually been designated. It's not just kind of how it's always been with, existing road washes and trails, right?
Well, I think that if you go back into the history, which is what we pulled a little bit of it, is that those trails have been there for... very, very long time, so it's much like Old Butte. So they were designated 25 years ago. They can still be in use. So, but at the same time, that's why we always still pay attention to, the transportation plan that BLM has reopened. So the thought is that much like I did with Rainbow Canyon and the other piece is that we're not trying to close off more stuff because there's a benefit to both sides to be able, if people don't can't use it, then how do they know what our history was or different things? But we also don't want to.
Marilyn had mentioned that the night that they were here and spoke to us.
I wasn't nice, remember? I had to leave.
You made valid points. She was very inquisitive about, are you shutting stuff down? And they said, they assured us that the designated roads and routes were going to remain. BLM would be in control of this. But the problem is, you know, all of us were all up in arms because that big blanket of wilderness is on the hill there near Gene, and then it ends, and it's all BLM land across the highway and into Searchlight, and those citizens were all concerned, all the way down to the federal land that's along the lake, and then it turns and it's headed down to Laughlin, and the same issues apply that way. That you have your fed line, but you've got a lot of BLM land that's encompassed in this thing, and there's a lot of trails and designated trails out there.
Well, here's the thing. Like on my project, the overriding issue is that there aren't any designated trails in Clark County on BLM. Forest Service went through their travel management planning X number of years ago, so their stuff is all designated. Nobody else has designated trails, so.
These have been designated back to little kid.
Specifically designated, gone through the whole process. So.
Yeah, because it used to quite frankly be part of the Mint 400 when I was a kid. It's where it actually kind of started out there. So
yeah.
These have been designated. They've been part of the BLM for, I'm telling you, since I was in high school, because that's
It was designated as an ACEC for the Desert Tortoise back in 1984, I think.
Yep.
So they did.
So they actually did create the routes.
Yeah, if it's an ACEC, they have to designate routes.
Which was part of the legislation that was passed when the Desert Tortoise came about.
So is that part of the ACEC process then?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And from my understanding, the main thing with the Amaka National Monument is that they wanted to keep it from being developed on for
wind.
If it's an ACEC, it can't. That's what it makes. There's no reason to do it. They want to lock some stuff up.
They shut down the Crescent Peak Winds project. They were the main people that shut that down.
Right.
The problem, again, just to bring up again with that national monument, once you classify it a national monument, they're going to enforce like a 35 mile an hour speed zone. They're saying that they won't in this particular one, but by default, that's what the feds normally look at. Oh, as soon as you say national monument, right? It becomes an issue, and they said they would address that to your point in questions, but still think if what they use that label, it's going to be a problem.
Well, and that's why we asked when they were here specifically the language. We wanted specific language that would address those issues if that were to move
and
forward.
And we haven't seen the resolution.
Yeah, and I think it's just still a, well, it's going on Tuesday, but and I had spoke. Well, I might as well talk. I had spoken today with Zach Zaragoza with Senator Cortez Masto's office, and more about the land spill. But that was one of the issues. Most of our it's still going forward right now. It's been there was a hearing for the subcommittee for the Natural Resources Committee, and that's where it's at right now, getting work done. They're working with the county to clarify more of the maps. And the acreage, that some of the acreages were discrepancies about how much was getting taken away or added. So they were working right now with the county to make sure they get that all squared away. The areas that we've asked to be designated federal OHV recreational areas are all seem to be going forward. The only one in question is Laughlin OHV, and that's due to this whole national monument issue because they kind of go over each other. And Senator Cortez Masto doesn't really want to in favor of it because it's not a clear plan and it goes kind of defeats the purpose, but it conflicts with what the current land use plan is what we're looking for. So she's not necessarily supporting it, but they're looking into it more to see exactly how it will affect the area of that Laughlin area. Specifically the Dead Mountain area is what they call it. Mm-hmm. That's the area that's in question really. According to the National Monument Group, they really do want to continue to have OHV recreational use. The especially the motorcycle racing goes through there all the time, Moran, the different groups. So that's what they say their intention is. But like we've discussed before, we're concerned about, okay, you say that, but we've been down this road before. We want specific language for us to even, you know, not even endorse it, but say, you know, whatever comment on it. So that's kind of where the land spill is. It's not It's still in committee. They're looking to have a hearing, hopefully before the full committee of the natural resource in about 3 or 4 weeks, depending on the information going forward. And it's still really a work in progress. You know, it takes, I don't know if you've ever been involved in land or any kind of bill. It's
7 years.
Yeah, it's forever, but that's where we sit.
By 7 years ago.
But there hasn't been any push, there hasn't been any as far as the areas that we addressed at our meeting at the senator's office a few months ago. Everything's gone forward with that. There haven't been any issues. The only one, like I said, is the loft when OHV is a little bit of contention. And then I know someone had sent an email asking about the Mormon Mesa area, trying to include that. But yeah, but the county came back and other agencies have said, at this time, there's just no way.
Well, here's what I will tell you. It can never happen. I don't care what they say. There's hundreds of cultural sites in there. There's milkweed. There's all kinds of things that we could never replace. So the solar people hate me, but at the end of the day, they've actually withdrawn it and tried to put it in the public landfill. We caught the language, which is why we're going back over everything with a fine-tooth comb. So BLM has put it at the bottom of the priority list. They are still trying to push for it, but we've looked at it in with all the cultural sites, with all of the milkweed, with the silk sand. There's just no way that it could ever meet any BLM criteria. I don't care how much money people want to throw at it. So we worked with Logandale folks. They're pretty engaged now. But we also worked with BLM to make sure some of that, a lot of the solar projects, because they're just taking over, right? Or replacing them for parks. That's not okay. There's got to be a balance.
So. I'll tell you what they did out there in Boulder City just looks horrendous next to the highway. It's just horrible.
All right.
Boulder City makes a lot of money out there.
And they also, just a side note, they are asked, the senator is also going to be putting our committee as a contact point for future solar. So if solar projects propose something or put in a proposal, they're going to make us as a contact point. So that instead of saying they met, you know, in the past, we've seen where organizations or companies or projects, developments have come forward and said, we met with the community leaders, blah, blah, they were all in favor. But we find out, hey, wait a minute, no one from OHV was included in any of these conversations. And that's really how we got involved in the lands bill in the beginning. So now, so that way we can be on the forefront of any of these solar projects, the discussion, at least to know, especially the areas that concern OHV use, they're going to put us as a contact point going forward so that we can be part of it. They'll reach out to me on my email, and then I'll bring it to the committee and other organizations so that we can be informed and come as a group, you know, to really look into it and try to continue to fight and protect what we need to protect. So that's that for it. Any other emerging issues, or can we move on to the next? The next part is announcements of general information that may be of interest to committee members or the general public. I just did a quick list, what I have, and then if the others want to join in. But the Vegas Valley Four Wheelers, I know it's not your event this Saturday, but it's a ride, right?
Yeah, a trail ride.
A trail ride. It's Mount Potosi to the Colored Rock Quarry, but it's a Facebook event, so if you go on Facebook, you can find it.
You can also find it on the regular events calendar.
The Sin City Dairy Queen, they have a Friday night car show. A lot of off-road vehicles go to these events. It's every Friday night. Rancho and corner of Rancho and Craig. So if anybody's interested, it's 5:30. Well, 6 to, I think it's 8, but 5:30 is you sign up. That's going on. The BLM Harris Springs Recreational Area Management Plan and Environmental Assessment. Tuesday, February 1st, 6 to 8 p.m. It's a virtual public meeting hosted by the BLM. I can give you the link to it. Anybody can attend. Comments will be taken that night. There'll be discussion. Comments, if you can't make it, comments are open until February 18th regarding that area. So it's just let me know. I can get you the link.
Debbie, I got a question. On these announcement stuff, can we put out info as far as races and things like
that? That's what I'm doing. Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's why I said I'll list these. I just kind of try to cover what I see. Legacy Hair Scrambles is February 4th to 6th. It's for motorcycles and quads, Laughlin, Nevada. The 53rd Annual Snore 250 is February 11th through the 12th in the Gene, Nevada area. Vegas Valley Four Wheelers meeting February 16th at the Tap House, 6:30 p.m. They have a great meeting. I've been to a few and always entertaining and informational. The Mint 400 Desert, or I'm sorry, the Best in the Desert UTV Legends Championship. It's for motorcycles, quads, and UTVs, February 17th through the 20th, Laughlin, Nevada. The Mint 400 Desert Cleanup, Saturday, March 5th, 9 a.m. You can register at themint400.com, and we also be providing a link to Amelia to put on our the website, because it's hoping this will be one of our first one of the year to help partner with in our cleanup endeavors. The Mint 400 Off-Road Race, March 9th through the 12th. Vegas Valley Four Wheelers takes over Arvada Springs. Events March 11th through the 13th. You can go to vv4w.org for more information. Registration closes for that event March 6th at 8 p.m. And Kevin said the camping spots go really fast. So if you're interested in attending that, make sure you get signed up. And the Snore Battle of Prim, March 25th through the 27th in Prim, Nevada. I did through. We have our next meeting at the end of March, so I just kind of did it through March. I don't know if there's any other event. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of other events, but those are kind of what I've highlighted. We're going to try to put as many links as we can up on the Clark County website, so that way there's more information out there. But if you have anything else, you know, you want to announce or.
I don't know if this is the right form to do it, but one of our previous meetings, I brought up the Arizona Peace Trail, and I was doing more research on that, and I got back some information that that trail system equates to about $20 million to the state of Arizona as far as economic impact.
Okay, so, yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out because we had talked about doing something like that in the future, and I was going to get more information on it, and that's what I wanted to relay.
Oh, okay. All right.
So the economic impact that they receive from that could be something that the county could look into to benefit the county.
We can put it on our future meetings, you know, our emerging issues portion. But any other date as far as special events dates, anything, anybody? Nope? All right. Next, we have a guest. The Nevada Off-Road Association is here to discuss OHV funding opportunities, stewardship, statewide land use status, federal planning, and OH community concerns, including OHV trail use and accessibility.
Yay.
If you'd like to introduce yourself.
Seriously, Dr. Redbird, much better. Glad to be in motion. My name is Matt Thiel, and I'm the executive director of the Nevada Off-Road Association, and I know everybody in this room except for you two.
So I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Awesome. Mike and I got talking at a legacy race over in Brum 2 weeks ago, something like that. Introduced myself because what I do is the stickers that you have, those are my perfect calling cards. Like, hey, you want a sticker? Everybody wants a sticker shaped like Nevada. We all live in Nevada. So that's a really nice segue in to have a conversation like I did, and here I am. I've known Ross now for probably 3 or 4 years anyway, when you first put in for years. Kenny and I tried to get together when we tried to launch this association 3 years ago. That failed to launch for reasons that I will never discuss on a recorded line. Debbie, your work with Race for Race as a veteran, as a retired military guy, those of us on this side of 22, means a lot. I don't think you really know what it means to us, so thank you.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Rayette is here. Rayette Martin is working with us on a project up in Lyon County. We are doing some restoration work to protect a ghost town that has a nice little cute little burial site, if you can call burial sites cute. The off-road community, both plated and rec stickered, doesn't understand they are literally driving across graves because they just see it's a low spot and that's an easy way to get through. So we're going to be putting a barrier in there. And Rayette has stepped up and will be working on a contract with her to do some of that archaeological work that we need to move that forward. Bruce Kester is over against the wall over here. Bruce is with the Dunes and Trails Club. They are a Henderson-based ATV club. I'm a member of that club. I incidentally am a member of every club in Nevada that participates in the recreational sticker program because I think that it adds a certain amount of value to me going to a club as a club member and say, hey, we need to look at this, rather than just some guy that shows up and says, hey, you guys need to look at this. So anyway, Nevada Off-Road Association, we are a 501c3 Nevada registered nonprofit. And I found out last week, or this week, whatever week, I've been on the road a lot, that we will likely also be exempt from paying sales tax on purchases, which is important because we are going to be the title holder to the majority of the equipment that's bought through the Nevada OHV program. So, for example, we were successful in moving one grant forward this year for up in Elko, where they're building a brand new motocross track. They wanted a bulldozer. They got one. We're buying a bulldozer, we're buying a skid steer, and we are holding the title to that because there's nothing in the NRS right now that prevents a club from buying a bulldozer to the OHV grant program and putting it on Craigslist the next day and pocketing the money. It's a flaw in the system. There are some, I'll be polite here, race groups that don't race on four wheels, that some of their equipment has gone missing historically, and that's a problem. You know, we don't want trail dozers disappearing, especially when they're paid for out of recreational dime. So as I said, we are the, liaison, communicator between groups like this and the recreational community. Part of what we also do is work with the Nevada Off-Highway Vehicle Grant Program. Grants like Kevin's got to do some work over in Logandale. We were formed, this agency or this association was formed primarily at the request of the Nevada OHV Commission members because they were having a difficult time, believe it or not, in getting their money out of the grant and into the hands of the Nevadans to put it where it belongs, which is back in their home dirt. Nikhil, the program manager, Phil Fell, who is the current chairman of the commission, many conversations, there might have been Bill Beveridge involved, I'm not saying it's possible, and I decided that I would step up and pick up where we left off on a previous incantation of a similar organization that had not successfully launched. Last December, the OHV commission had $1.5 million to give away. They still left $84,000 on the table. That's a problem. Bigger problem is that a lot of the groups, and you know, they don't know this, will put in a grant that has a flaw in the grant. You can't, for example, put a grant in to buy yourself a brand new Cadillac. Even if you're going to use it for OHV, not appropriate. It's not allowed in the NRS 490. We can come in and we can help flush those grants in. And the other nice thing about us, as an independent nonprofit, I'm not encumbered by the same thing that you guys are. Public meeting laws and stuff don't apply to us. Well, I'm here, they do. But I can have a conversation with Mike, you know, like we did 2 weeks ago, or Rayette, or what have anybody. Perfectly legit. We're moving forward with what we want, but I don't have all those little emergency breaks because I'm not a member of the government. We fought, getting back to the grand thing, so we fostered in, we had $1.5 million available. The entire project total that was advanced in the applications, meaning the grant money they asked for plus whatever in kind they had, came out to about $3.65 million worth of projects. The actual ask on that was $2.6 million, so roughly $1 million of matching was put into it either in kind or other resources. $2.6 million was asked. They granted the Nevada Offer Association, our group, touched is probably the best way to put it. Like, Kevin wrote his own grant, but boy, we went over it a number of times. Our association brought forth $1.6 million worth of grants and projects. Of that, the ask was $1.2 million. We were awarded, our family was awarded $880,000 to go back into your local dirt. The overall grant disbursement that was agreed to and voted on by the Grant Commission, all the projects totaled, all the asks totaled, they awarded it at a rate of 64%. Because a lot of them got zero. So it's not surprising. Our group, we walked out of there at 91%. We got this down. You know what we're doing. And I'm really excited the next thing on your agenda is the Nellis OHV Park. I know nothing about it. You guys want it? We will get you the money to do it. I can do that. All right, so one of the other things that we do, this is actually a very small part of our job. The the funding thing and shepherding in these grants. The bigger part of our job is the stewardship, outreach, and education. Making sure that the motorcycle community isn't out there behaving like jackasses. Making sure that my community... Exactly. My community is the side-by-side community, worst offenders.
Yes.
They are the biggest problem out there.
Yes.
We know that. We're trying to fix it.
Especially in the last 2 years, it's gotten really bad.
Side-by-sides, number one selling type of OHV right now, obviously. Motorcycles make up 12%. 2% is traditional ATVs, the rest are UTVs. Side-by-sides, ROVs, whatever you want to call them. The problem, and then I'm actually getting ahead of where I want to be in the notes, but we'll do it anyway. The problem is, somebody goes over to the Polaris dealer, the Kawasaki dealer, whatever, and they're like, I love this thing. It's blue, it's my favorite color. Here's my credit card. That's 100% of their experience in off-road. They didn't get raised riding on a Honda 50. They didn't get raised by stealing dad's Jeep when he wasn't home. Not that I know anything about that. They literally, their entire training and organizational experience is going and buying it and loading it on their trailer and going home and hitting the desert. So that's something that we're focused on. I'm working with Tread Lightly. I recognize that as the partner for Tread Lightly for Nevada. We're working on a program right now called UTV Impact. It's launching in King of the Hammers tomorrow, I guess, right? King of the Hammers start tomorrow?
28th.
So it's launching tomorrow. It's an online training thing teaching ethics and stewardship. I've mixed emotions about it. I have a positive feel for what we're putting out, but often these programs go to the people that don't need it. You know, you're not getting into that 25-year-old that's pounding three Red Bulls with a stereo going at 100 miles an hour. One of the other things that we do, we offer training to clubs, to riders. I personally train the law enforcement community here in Nevada. I have a standing date, so to speak, with Sergeant Doty over in Moab Valley to teach his guys about NRS 490, because who here's been 490? Okay, let me do it this way instead. State of Nevada, you're driving a side-by-side, roll cage, stereo, show of hands. Are you required in the state of Nevada to wear a helmet? Yes?
Not in the state of Nevada, you gotta have eye protection.
You are incorrect. If you are operating an ATV in the state of Nevada on a highway, that's a very key point, but we're going to get to that.
Highway. Yeah. You didn't say that. You didn't say highway. You didn't say highway.
No, but this is important. If you're operating an ATV, an OHV, you have to be wearing a helmet, an ATV, an OHV, it's not a stress.
You're not supposed to be on the highway unless it's legal, and then you don't have to wear a helmet.
According to
you are correct, ma'am.
You can travel up to 2 miles on the state highway to access.
And you can access the roads.
No.
That's the problem.
Well, listen, you know all the answers, so you're...
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. In the state of Nevada, highways...
Well, I represent that area, so I take offense that I know nothing about you, and you've dropped a million names. You just talked about Nellis Dunes, that of course you're going to get it. I'd like to know how you're going to do that, because it's not that easy. And two... You know, Clark County gave most of that money for the commission. We've struggled even having a partnership with the commission to get the damn grants. We're not grant writers, any of us. So I just am feeling frustrated with your presentation to this point.
No, that's why I'm here. We will help you get that money. We'll help you
write the grant. We put it up. And it's going across the state. Right. We put it up. We put $750,000 of it. Initial dollars, and nobody else across the state even registers their damn UTVs.
And honestly,
you know, back when I was a kid, we grew up in this town with a motorbike, with all of these things. Kids today don't get that option because HOAs don't allow that stuff to be there. So when you talk about their first experience, I'm glad that they're actually doing it because otherwise they would go away. But what can we do with the kids today to get them interested in kindergarten? You know what I mean?
I got it, and I have a suggestion.
Okay, guys, you're losing me.
Oh, no. It's a tough crowd.
No, that's fine. Listen, I took this on because I grew up here when this stuff is all going away because so many people are moving here that don't understand our way of life. We have to fight for trails. And then the OHV Commission, in all fairness, should have put the damn trail map together that we've been asking for since AB 400 was passed in 2007. So you're selling me a bill of goods that I don't understand as a Nevadan, because all of this was created to protect the steward and all this, but nobody's done anything except for us. And we've been through the maps, we've been through the trails, we've been to the BLM meetings, and you know, I've got to call Sergeant Dottie on my way home because that is my area that I represent. And if you're doing things in my area and you're doing training in my area, I get the calls. I want to have that conversation because we've been working with NDOT to create a trail so that we can keep people off the highway to begin with. So I'm feeling a little bit froggy here because at the end of the day, I do this because I love it and I'm a side-by-side user.
Yep. And we are
the stewards of the stuff. We're not tearing shit up all the time. It's the uneducated people that are coming from out of state that tear a lot of it up.
There's nothing you say that I disagree with. You're spot on.
Well, don't sell me something. Help me do it better.
That's why I'm here.
I don't need a sales pitch. What can you do for me?
What I can do for you is the same thing that we did with Kevin, so that he gets money that's going to go right directly into Logandale to take over for Partners in Conservation to be the chief stewards of that particular area. That's a very important part of the program. The mapping program and the trails program, what Ross said really struck a nerve, because the way that I look at that with the trails in particular, where we have this trail, it's been here since I was this tall, that kind of stuff, BLM doesn't see it that way, and it's really frustrating. The way that I approach it with my local district office, if this is a trail, I'm like, I want to do maintenance on the trail, I want to put some signs in. If their answer isn't immediately, sure, let's help you do that, then it's not a trail, but it's in the BLM's eyes. And that's the problem. Now, what's happening with BLM is they are, okay, the resource management plans for the state of Nevada for BLM average 26 years old. They're all out of date and they're useless. Before the resource management plans are done, they came through the travel management plans, which designate trails. Specifically,
mostly they take shit away, quite frankly. They don't ever add anything.
Oh, they take it all away. Right.
Exactly. So we don't want them messing in it because they take stuff away.
But so then, here's the question.
Get this as a public meeting, but this is my passion, and I've put 4 years into this, and so, I mean, let's have a frank conversation. The BLM does not ever put a trail back. All they do is close roads.
So back to what the commissioner's saying, back in 2009, we Carsonited 60-something miles out in the Nellis Dunes, Hurricane Moapa area, and when you go to the BLM office, the signage is still there, but when you go to the BLM office today in Southern Nevada District, nobody knows anything about it.
That's right.
That's the problem.
No, you're right. Didn't you talk about signing between Prim and headed north out of Prim?
We were talking about Bob Adams, too. It was Bob.
I know.
But the problem is the turnover rate, the Southern Nevada District has the highest turnover rate of employees, so nobody knows anything about it.
You're exactly right.
And the thing is, too, my whole project is about this. I'm doing this loop. Everything I'm doing is existing routes. Every single one. Mm-hmm. And I've still got to go through the process of getting it designated, or else, what they did was they kind of abandoned updating the RMP, and they're just doing it piecemeal administratively, and they're doing it, they're backdooring and putting all these restrictions, these overlays on this land that really, and they're not really enforcing it yet, so nobody really knows what's going on, but without there actually being specific action to designate these routes, they're going to go
No, you're exactly right. And that's why we are positioning ourselves to be that constant. So when there is a turnover, we're the ones with the historic knowledge and you know, have that in the bank, so to speak.
And also, the
can I ask how much the OHV Commission is paying the nonprofit to do all these things for us? Because you're basically our lobbyist.
Our entire budget is $154,900.
Okay. Good, because I'm going to make your image. So I pay my fees. So you're my you're our lobbyist now, is what you're
yeah,
telling
so
me.
Basically, yeah, that's 100%. I'm here working for you.
Well, and, I wish you would ask us some of the things that we've been working on, because we've been doing this a while.
Well, I think
listen, if y'all don't include me, I'm the one that keeps this stuff.
No, those are individual. No, they're talking over the years. That's not. No, Matthew came down here to introduce their organization and what they do, so we appreciate that. No, we do appreciate that. We've been working on this a long time, so and I understand the frustration that you know, she's conveyed.
You know, I have 5 commissioners that don't actually support this. Yes. Right? So I work pretty hard to keep it going.
So.
I know that. But the bottom line, and how I have in my notes to end this conversation, is that I need to know from you, from everybody here, what are your hot topics? Billy's here taking notes, and literally even things like, you know, we were just talking about the events that are coming through, most of them I know about, but not all of them. You know, the Mormon Mesa stuff, I hadn't realized that there were some plant issues that actually came into getting that solar thing kicked out. You know, so we are taking the posture of getting involved early with the land managers and the power companies and what have you, so that we can make sure that our needs are met as they move forward. We've had some good success with that with some mining companies and what have you, but I'm old enough to be, you know, from the Reagan Revolution, so it's that trust but verify mentality, because just because BLM says they're going to do it, like you just said.
Well, I'd like you to make an appointment with our office, because I represent most of the OHV stuff.
Yep.
And I work with UV Energy, the Old Spanish Trail, all of that to keep the solar within the corridor. So mm-hmm. I probably need to understand more of what you do. But I'm not trying to be adversarial, but today's been a long day. People tried to tell me I was going to make my life great, and it just adds work to my plate. So.
No, like I said, there's nothing that you said that I disagree with at all. And
well, I mean, at the end of the day, I love the whole state, but Clark County pays, and we're the only one that register our damn OHV. So the money, all of it, should stay here.
Here's what you can do in the interim. This is important. Right now, there are 2 vacancies on the OHV commission.
I'm not filling them. I'm going to tell you why. And NACO has one of those positions. We offer a name up. At the same time, we've never... The exception of Sue Baker coming to 5 meetings, 0 from them, 0. Mm-hmm. I'd rather work with the legislature to gut the money if they're not going to spend it in Clark County. So
or
that's just how I feel about it. I sat on the legislature, I created the whole thing, and you know what? No one's ever worked with us, ever. I helped create the damn thing, AB 400.
I'm familiar, I've read it. But I guess my point is that right now you have the opportunity to put 2 people on that commission who are from Southern Nevada. Bob Adams, who's over out of Pahrump, and Timothy McDaniel, who's here in the Valley.
You're talking about the state OHV.
Yes.
The state OHV commission,
yeah.
Grant commission.
For now.
My position is that...
They do nothing for us.
And my position is that Clark County is underrepresented. That was one of Sue Baker's big deals. You know, is that the money needs to come down to Clark County because it's not being there.
Yeah,
the issue
people have to submit.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's an education issue. Is that an informational issue that people? Because when you look at that application, it is complicated. I mean, Ross worked through it. Yours was like a whole profession. You know, I mean, it was like a totally business plan. Yeah. So I think if your organization can help with grant writing, helping with that, I think that is a plus, and that gets into the public's hands down in Clark County, that like SNOR or any organization can get that assistance because they're all volunteers themselves. So it's hard. Like I know in Race to Erase, I try to do grant proposals, and it's very complicated. That's the most recent state COVID grant. It was like I would have to have an MBA or a master's in accounting to be able to complete that. And then so people get frustrated and quit. So I think that could be a useful resource if we can get that information to the people in Clark County and let them know, listen, if you're interested in, you know, doing a certain grant, you guys can assist. And those things we need to are good to know, that we can get that information in the public's hands.
So Dunes and Trails got a grant to do some work over in Level Canyon. So they're doing some stewardship work over there as well. But you guys aren't getting the money you're supposed to be getting. Certainly not. And the only way that we do that is that we have people that apply for it. Which brings me to my closing little bit, which is the biggest problem that we have getting back to the folks that had no mentorship when they go out and buy their first rig, is that we have a complete loss of the traditional club structure. None of this going out anymore and riding with your club. Dunes and Trails is an obvious exception to that. Everything is being done online. It's all social media. And you don't get any mentorship from somebody on social media. You get mentorship by joining a motorcycle club and learning how to ride single track. That's where you get it from. So one of the other tasks that we have on our agenda is to make sure that we start buttressing up the local clubs. I'm surprised that there is not a formal club that I'm aware of over by Logandale, other than the Vegas Valley Four Wheelers. I mean, that's a perfect location for, you know, an organized club that they can take ownership.
Yeah, but they also promote themselves in magazines. They have stuff when they have the four wheeler. I mean, they do agree. They invest a lot of the money in doing it. It's not like the Polaris dealers are doing anything to promote the clubs that actually exist. I mean, when you go, I mean, that's, I mean, if you can't get those people on board first, how do people ever do it?
Right, and that is an identical argument that I made for us going to the Grant Commission to fund this endeavor. It's a chicken and egg argument. Me going to Polaris saying, give me $25,000 to run this particular project, I currently am sitting in my living room and trying to wing it, versus going to the state, getting seed money to set up the association so that I then can turn around to Polaris and say, we represent the 50,000 registered OHVs in the state of Nevada. Now you need to start playing nice with us rather than giving your money to Colorado and Utah. Because that's what's happening. Those groups have a really well-organized state OHV program. We are pretty junior in the scope of things as having an organized off-road community. And we need to fix it. And I'm going to fix it. That's my goal.
It's all on Facebook right now.
I'm sorry?
It's all on Facebook right now.
Boston right.
Side by side. You know, there's like three different groups, about 4,000.
Right.
Well, and a lot of that is because we've lost land to ride on. So people like myself go to Utah where I could get a map on where all the trails are and I know where I can safely do all these things.
Yep.
And I could go to Logandale Trails because Pick put it together. We did coloring books for the kids, for the cleanups, for all of those things. We promoted it. Now it's so damn busy the town can't navigate. So now we got to find the balance. But I mean, it's not for the lack of having the resources to do it, it's having the wrong people on the commission, quite frankly.
and to add
y'all are sorry you invited me today, huh?
No.
No, not yet, but it's really. The other thing, though, and this falls back to what I just said a moment ago, the other part of the problem is not necessarily who's on the commission as much as is that we don't have anybody who's taking ownership for their local trails. And I don't mean nobody, but I mean no organized group. I like to use the phrase a lot that nobody's ever washed a rental car, and that's what it is. If you don't have, you know, the Nellis Dunes ATV Club, who's going to go out there and clean up Nellis Dunes?
We are.
Well, we are.
That's what this organization. That's what it's on our task. I mean,
but
yeah.
To your point though, that's up north. They're like a little more savvy, and they're applying for all this money.
Right.
And we're not in the south, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
So do they still have money that's unused? I know that was...
In July. They
right. Know. So the way that this runs now is that for the first time they've actually changed the grant procedures so that you will be able to apply again in... I think the deadline's going to be in June. They're doing it twice a year. Okay. So this time through, it'll be about $840,000-ish available.
So that's for half a year?
No, it'll be a 12-month grant, but they're doing it in July and December for the actual meetings to grant it.
So the 800 is half of what's available on
the database. Yes.
Okay. Because it's interesting to note, when I applied for my first grant, the total was just under $1 million.
Yeah. Right.
So that's come up a lot.
And that's for two reasons. One, there's a lot more compliance with registration right now than there was 3, 4, 5 years ago, because people are buying brand new machines and they're requiring registration for the dealer.
Well, the dealer offering to register them for them, which they didn't used to do.
Right.
Which we had to change the state law to get them to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's more in the pool. the side-by-side all combined motorcycles, ATV squads, UTVs, RVs, whatever you want to call them. 2020 increased 516% in sales.
Okay.
OHV and state of that is a $90 billion economic engine. We put $90 billion a year into the state economy.
It's actually more than that, but you all have the
same sense. Yeah, I'm talking just that I can directly point to, you know, gas and rubber.
You should add in hunting, you should add in all those
the
other things.
The toy, right.
And event.
And there was an economic study that was actually done on the outdoor recreation that the commission has, that is way higher than that. And it was actually done by the environmental groups, and it shows tons of benefit to the OHV community.
No, there is one. Actually, SEMA, a group out of SEMA, has the most latest status.
The Blue Ribbon Coalition did one, too, for the state. Was like, with all the subsets, was $9 billion annually and $87 billion nationwide.
A really good resource is the Bureau of Economic Analysis out of Washington. They put it in at $87 million to Nevada, or $84 million, something like that. Well, I mean, the numbers are not wildly off base. The issue that I personally run into is that we have members of the outdoor recreation community employed by the state of Nevada, to be as vague as I possibly can, who are not fans of motorized recreation. And some of these people are the ones that are thinking that there's more economic benefit by putting in a stargazing park, picking something hypothetical out of thin air, than it is to make sure we have an adequate staging area and marked trails.
Well, the number I got from Ride Now Power Sports, just the three dealerships for the ones I could get for 2018, right before we started this commission, was those three dealerships sold 31,000 in 2018, and that's bike squads, side by sides. That's just here in the valley.
And that's triples, it's COVID. So, I mean, and we know what our industry, where OHV recreation brings, and outdoor recreation brings to our state. And I know those figures have been sent to Governor Sisolak's office on multiple, and the tourism. We've sent that to the tourism department too to fortify our commitment and get them hopefully on board to increase OHV areas and put something back into the community where, you know, that's the fastest growing industry in the country actually. So we have other items on our agenda, so we need to get.
Well, when Polaris sells more side by sides and Ford sells F-150s, you know what they're selling. When Polaris sells more side by sides, the Ford sells F-150 trucks, the largest seller in the United States, you know they're selling.
Right. It's not going away, which is why if we don't get in front of it, we'll be able to get their act together and start doing management plans for a number of those trails. So we need to get our community in line and be responsible stewards on the trails, or it's going to make all of our job here even worse.
So Matt, in closing, so you don't, obviously you live in northern Nevada, but you're really like our southern Nevada guy too, right? Like the whole state?
I am it for the state. Billy's here. She's done our marketing, and I have an associate director who does our government affairs stuff, who coincidentally had just resigned from her job with Forest Service. So talk about having the right person in the right place to hypothetically make it difficult for the federal land managers to behave badly. She's the one. So we're positioned to be successful, but we have to build the clubs. And that's the biggest issue right now because. As an elected person, you know, if I tell you I've got 5,000 likes on my Facebook page, what's your reaction? Nothing. But if I tell you I've got 500 guys in my off-road club, that actually has a little bit more weight.
Well, I'm a unique bird, so I don't really care. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to say, here's the thing. I don't mind doing the clubs, but I need to know what the benefits are for the clubs.
Right.
Because I'm not promoting something that I don't know that works. I promote Vegas Valley all the time because, one, they give back to the community twice a year on anything that they do. Two, we have Logandale is one of the cleanest trails that are out there, and they're a big partner with that. So I guess that people got to understand what the benefit is. And I'll tell you, I'm not joining a club myself unless I have a map to know where to go because it is not helpful, and I can't stress how important that is, because in Utah, I can drive across the state line, go to the gas station, and pick up my map to tell me where I'm going. And in Nevada, I come across the state line, and I get zilch, and I watch all, and I'm going to harp on this because We've been trying for a long time, and we've asked the state OHV commission to help us. And the, right?
Well, now they're, I mean, they've been working on this this year, supposedly, a new, more accurate maps.
I can speak to that if you'd like.
Quickly, because we have to get through this.
There was a grant a couple years ago, and they were supposed to do all this.
Yeah, that we supported.
Right, so the Nevada Mapping Collaborative is wrapping up. They've been directed to add single track and some snowmobile routes to the state mapping collaborative, and they've been told they have to have that done by July. The state, and this is something that I'm not a fan of, but be that as it may, is doing one collective Nevada Trails website, which is awesome if you are a GPS user and want to download everything into it. I'm an old school navigator. I want a piece of paper that I can hold up and go, I need to go that way. The nice thing is that the data that they're collecting is not copyrighted. So my expectation is that people will start taking that from an entrepreneurial point of view, whether it's our association, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, and printing up maps from that data once it's actually publicly available. So they were called out on the carpet by the commission in December, and they were literally at the point where the commissioners said, we don't want to give you any money, but we're so deep into this, if you guys don't finish this up, you're getting no more money. And that is also a problem because that particular endeavor is being run by the Great Basin Institute, which I have on a good day mixed emotions about. So I'd like to have somebody
just
so they're not any further
for Southern Nevada. So now I'm going to go bitch to the state about what's happened to the Southern Nevada map, because at the end of the day, when I go to Northern Nevada, I already can get a snowmobile map no matter what. So I could go to Ely, they tell me exactly where to go. Just like when I go hunting and I go scouting, I can go get that map. But Southern Nevada has got zilch, and that was not the grant that the OHV commission asked for. That's for a Southern Nevada map. So I'm going to take it up with the state on my way home today, because that makes me mad, because it's 3 years of wasted time. Pick it theirs in 6 months. Yeah, please do, because I've had it today.
I can get a map right now of Moapa Valley.
Right?
On trail forks, but not off the state website.
Yeah.
I can't get anything in the Pern Valley area.
Listen, for $99, I get every hunting,
right, so
every property manager,
you know,
everybody.
I'll say this. We got a grant. We're starting small. This is just one area. I'm targeting my backyard, Loganville, because that's where the rocks are at for us to crawl on at our club, because we're the big RV guys. Who doesn't say that this gen, and I'm healing the ending here, who doesn't say the second half of the year that we don't get a grant the BLM approves on for our club to sign the Jean Lake bed and the surrounding areas and Cottonwood Pass and the rest of it.
Good.
I've got the resources because my team, my group, my club that I'm a part of, the 128 members, want damn signage. We know the trails. You guys know the race trails. We know we want to push it out. So I'm fighting just as hard from the backside of it as the president of a club and an event promoter that hates Facebook in the first place.
Well, I feel like we applied for a SNPLA grant and an OHV commission grant for the trails pre-COVID when we started this conversation, because we even helped design the sign. And if you look at Gold Butte, there are some signage out there, so maybe I just need to call BLM tomorrow and ask where the hell.
Well, I know I submitted a bunch of maps to this committee too. The
same year
that kind of just.
But that didn't go to the state. That wasn't for the snowy.
That
wasn't for the map again.
Then it did go state, because Carolyn got a bunch from me too. But yes, the fight is there. You're 100% correct. That map should be available for everybody that pulls up anywhere we go for OHV, that OHV is allowed to stay in Nevada to go, because the side-by-side community is going to check out everybody, going to ruin it for the big other people right now.
But Debbie Snore applied, and we were granted a grant to sign from Prim to the last cabin, up to the last cabin trail.
Mm-hmm.
We had everything ready to go, but BLM wouldn't approve it. BLM would not let us sign the trail that is on their website. They've already got signs on it, but let us sign it.
And what did they
say? Said that their one of their biologists was worried that it could get too much traffic up there and it would disturb some stuff.
But if it's
the lost cabin,
the one the
everybody rides up there. I mean, it's
well, they put a fence up next to it.
Yeah. So I guess that's our point to the preservation folks. So as much as we want to try to do it, try to steer people to the right direction, we
run into
support, whether it be state, BLM. And so I don't know how you preserve something that you can't document and you can't include people.
And that's been the biggest complaint. I met with Logandale residents at Hump and Bump. And some of the residents there, because there's not signage, and that's why I told them that's one of our biggest reasons why we want to designate it federally, get it federally designated as OHV area, to bring funding in so we can bring in police and or you know more supervision, more signage, more education. Education's really the key because his concern was the trail goes right through his part of his property, but it's not signed, and he has groups of all different kind of people, UTV groups that come through and they just ravage his land. Going through he's frustrated. He loves the area, riding area. He doesn't want to fight that, but he wants more signage and more law enforcement to educate these people. So that's what our goal was, to get it federally designated in other areas so the funding can be there so we can actually get signage in there and resources, maps, so that way we can educate the public. And that's one of our goals, is education. And hopefully we can work, you know, with you guys and other organizations, the Dunes and Trails, everybody. If we do it as a cohesive group, maybe we can find the message across. But
does Amelia have your number? Because we're doing an economic forum out there, I think next week via Zoom. And we have NDOT and we have some other folks who are going to talk about about how do we do outdoor recreation, which includes OHV and races and what you guys do.
Yeah, you've got all my numbers.
And then we'll make sure you're included, because one of the things we've been working with NDOT is their 200-foot right-of-way is really sucks. And there's actually maps, which our Public Works is working on, to hand out there on how to get safely to Logan Air Force. So we could be part of that conversation on the benefit to the community.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll make sure I know you hand out your card, so we'll make sure and connect. We really appreciate it. All right, our next item, sorry, because we're running out of time. Our next our OHV committee to receive an update regarding the Nellis Dunes OHV Park. Commissioner Kirkpatrick, where are you going?
I can't hear what you got to say about the OHV Park, because I've been working on this thing for about 3 years. So we are now in the BLM patent process to try and get them to relinquish all of that. So we've been working to get, we're going to put bathrooms out there so that people actually have a real bathroom that they can utilize. And we're working with Republic Service to keep it cleaned up, opt-in. But as you remember from the bill that passed way back when, we had to, one, get a sign-off with the military, which we did, so we can have up to 400,000 people within that designation, which is a lot, and we hope we never really have that much. But the other step is BLM has to go through the patent process with us, which we think can take another 8 to 9 months. So we've been consistently working. They were closed for COVID, so we couldn't get much out of them, but we just had our conversation last week, our update, to see what else do they need. So we think they now have all the documentation to meet the criteria of the legislation that was actually passed. So we have had, FYI, we've had several people that would like to have a commercial component out there so that they're not going back and forth. But we've said, first, let us get through the patent process. Let's get some bathrooms out there. We have to work with our Moapa Valley Fire Department and Station 23 to make sure that we can get some emergency services on a regular basis stationed within that area. But if it came to a point where people wanted to stage their OHV rentals and all those things out there, it would have to go to an RFP process. Which what I would tell you is, I said to the county, I don't want real property trying to manage it. Somebody that takes care of parks trying to go out there and, you know, tell me all the things that are wrong with the OHV. I'd much rather go out to an RFP of some people that are really focused and that is their component to where they could actually manage it for the county, because we don't have the wherewithal to be in the business. So that's kind of the direction, but you know, I send BLM an email every week asking, have they looked at my piece of paper yet? What else do they need? How long will it take? So I'm relentless, y'all know that about me, so. But we have done everything that they've asked for to date. And I told them that I have a hard deadline of October of next year because we want to really focus on OHV use in the northeast part of the valley. So I don't really have a date, but I'm not telling them that. So they got to have something to shoot for.
Okay.
So, but I don't know if you guys had any other requests that you want me to ask, but I mean, we think that it's pretty broad. People are using it all the time out there anyway, so we might as well make it a designated. And I don't know what your guys' thoughts are. I just know that if the county manages it, it could be problematic just because our folks don't have that wherewithal on what that looks like.
You mean for the private component?
Yeah.
Because you have Ritchie Brothers out, so there's private land out there. They could go buy that, rent that, and deal from there, so you wouldn't have to worry about it, you know.
Right.
So originally when this thing came to getting started, one of the things they've said, they were trying to model it after Glen Helen down in California, and one of the things they were touting was, hey, this could be the next starting area for the mid 400. We could have competitive mm-hmm. events out there. Is that something we're still looking at doing?
Yeah, we're not opposed because we think in that whole northeast part that, and I've been working with Lincoln County commissioners because we're actually trying to buy a ranch together off of Alamo, which has some designations that we could have for trails and different things. So we're trying to make it consistent, but we do need, so Papco Road, you know, I've been fighting that one too, and we're taking that patent back as well so that we can use it for staging areas, because if we don't have the proper staging areas and people end up everywhere, and it's much better to do it right. So it's not an opposition. So we're open to anything, but as again, I am the only one on the commission that is interested in this issue, so I have to work my magic to, you know, keep us afloat, keep us going. So there is not a lot on our board. There's just not OHV. I think I'm the only writer.
I know that that was the next, when I met with BLM, we pinpointed some areas of concern for cleanups in Nellis Dunes area. That was the next area looking into doing probably in the spring before it got too hot to focus on that area to do a cleanup in conjunction, hopefully, with Nellis Air Force Base personnel. Mm-hmm. So
we have about 300 volunteers in that whole little area mm-hmm. that we do. So I'm happy to bring, like, Amazon, ask them to adopt an area. One of the things I will tell you is the base is looking to close Sloan Road as a whole because they're having some struggles with North Las Vegas and all the traffic issues. They can't kick people on and off the base, but there's a new colonel coming in the spring, but what I will tell you is their OHV community on the base is growing by leaps and bounds, and they're actually looking for places to store and places to ride. Back to my map, so. But we're happy to engage maybe a registration day at the same time, OHV, because I think that would be beneficial.
We were hoping to do like a safety event and registration.
So
not safety
us,
event, but.
So if you tell us what you want, we can provide and pay for it, and we'll be your partner in District B.
Okay.
And we'll invite. We have a great group of, there's literally 300 volunteers we have in that area already.
Dave Cole reached out to me from the King of the Hammers in Ultra Four. Ryan Thomas works for him now formerly of Chenith, and
but is this on? I'm trying to go. Is that on the Nellis? Is this
so
regards to Nellis Dunes? Okay.
He reached out to me about a possibility of having an event in the Nellis Dunes area, and then also one out in the Prim area. I said I would get the information and get back to him. What he's looking at is they can't do federal land closures in the Lucerne Valley where he runs his King of Hammers events now. And I explained to him that we do land closure stuff. He feels that it's more controllable with the system of us having to do a federal land closure than what he has over there, because you just get people running, and it's like, it's crazy over there.
they get over 150,000 people there. They'll be there for the whole week.
Right.
So I told them I would talk, this meeting was coming up, and I would ask about possibly looking at having some events out there. There's some trails out there that he was looking at, and I would get more information on it and return it back to the committee.
Problems, PM10.
Mm-hmm. That's why we couldn't race there anymore.
The one spot that he's looking at is just outside of the PM10 boundary.
So I can work with Marcy. Marcy's aware that, you know, I want to make it a park like it was supposed to be.
Okay.
Back in the day, so, but she doesn't want to have to manage it, and she wants to make sure that air quality-wise, and so we've suggested, you know, there's nothing wrong with having water trucks on site so that we can go through and damp it down every little while. There's nothing, I mean, that's one of the issues in Logandale. People are complaining about is all the dust that gets kicked up, so and she's amenable to almost anything because she recognizes that people are getting pushed out. I mean, the Southwest, you're basically pushed out of the Southwest, right? So now we got to preserve what we have in the north part of the valley. So if you give me the information, pick a date. And you could work with Amelia or Gina in my office. We'll get Nellis on board, and we'll create a whole event to do.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Anything else on questions for about the OHV park? No. Next item, OHV committee to discuss Clark County land near the Abbey Casino and the possibility of using it for OHV events. I'm not sure who brought this up to the Kenny.
Yeah, I've been told, because I talked to one of the girls, this is about 4 years ago, after they transferred the land from Colorado River Commission to the county, and asked if we could utilize some of that area that we'd rate, had events on in the past. And they said no, that it was going to be, they were talking about building solar out there, and the landowners that they'd leased it from didn't want anybody out there. I don't know if that's still the case, but if not, I mean, if it isn't the case, we'd sure like to try to put another event on out there in the, it's off of the Needles Highway. It runs the state line. We did events out there for about 15 years. And when the Colorado River Commission owned it, it was not a problem. Because about half of the area we raced on was either BLM land or Colorado River Commission land.
So, Kenny, if you send me or text me the stuff, I'll work with Commissioner Nask, Mr. Bilbray out in that area, does all the economic driver stuff.
Okay.
And then make sure that Marcy's good with it.
I'll get you the information.
Okay. Thank you, Kenny. Sure. All right, next, our business items. It's reprioritize issue tracking list, identify issues to add, delete, provide, and select issue tracking manager. I know we're running out of time. So are we supposed to end at 5:30? We started a little bit late, is it? But as we go through the tracking list, I don't know if anybody has any updates. I do on the cleanups, so I don't know if I can just go ahead and discuss that real quick. We are hoping to partner, and I have to discuss, I guess, ask the commission, Board of County Commissioners. The Mint 400 is the first scheduled cleanup. They already put it on as far with Republic Services, Jeremy Walters. I met with Jeremy, and we kind of sort of unofficially partnered with them in their last cleanup in October with Jeremy and Matt. And so now we'd really officially like to go on board if we can. What they're looking for, what they need assistance with, is like gloves, water, the picking tools, you know, that you have to bend over. They're always needing those kind of supplies. And if we could possibly have yourself or Commissioner Gibson or someone maybe make an appearance out there. They usually start with a introduction to everybody and then talk about, you know, introduced some of the officials. So it'd be really good to see someone from the board actually to be there to show that you're, you know, how much you're involved actually in support of the community. So we're hoping that maybe that could happen, and it's March 5th.
So I will just tell you, from my office, I have four things scheduled on March 5th. One of them would be my sister's birthday.
Oh, it's just
second
sister.
Would be a hair appointment. Third would be a cleanup and a Health Nation. So, but maybe Commissioner Gibson could go.
I think of representing, I mean, I'll, several of us are there usually, or I know I will be there, but it'd be nice to have somebody, you know, just from a government
official. I'll send him this one, I'll go to the next one, but you gotta give me a little more notice.
All right.
But, and also we can give a donation to any one of your groups to get you guys some consistent cleaning supplies.
Okay.
So that's what we do, is we go and get like 60 pickers, so we always have them. I mean, I get a she shed out of it so I could store my stuff, to get you guys gloves and trash bags so that you guys always have it.
And that would be, yeah, that would be great, just so we can get started. I know they do get a lot of donations, but that's something they're always short of, it seems to be. So those are the areas they were looking for. Also, I know last time we put the link to the cleanup on, or Mamilia had the link put up on the Clark County website, so that would be really good. And maybe the promotional video from the last event could go up there, just to show, because I think there was over 25,000 tons of garbage collected.
Can I make a comment on that? That area I've been thinking about is kind of like the OHB people are picking up the gun owners.
Oh, no, it totally is. It's totally going on.
I know the officer that's out there. Can county do something to change, like you can't shoot out in certain areas anymore?
So we've been doing that, and we've been putting up signage, and we've been doing that, but really it's super hard to enforce because, you know, like with any gunshot, you can't really tell exactly where it is until after you're trying to.
But some of it is legal to shoot up there up the road, up in that one camp.
It's correct.
Yes,
yeah, but they're shooting everywhere. Like,
so because we did the clean, we were at the cleanup.
There's Metro out there. If you guys could ask the officer to police it, he would police it. I know the guy, because they don't, that's like a primo area out there because they don't have to do anything, right? It's like they're their own little sheriff. So I'm just saying, maybe you can or can't, as the county, say, hey, can you patrol this area? Because I know they patrol that area, those planted
it's
rocks.
It's just hard, though, to, it's hard to locate.
I mean, we, at the cleanup, this last cleanup, I was there, and we pulled up, and there was 30 shooters there.
Oh, yeah.
But they're legally allowed to do that. I think our biggest thing is, we, maybe from an education standpoint, we go to the shooting, like the different gun places, and get them on board to educate the users. I've heard that across the country. It's the users that we need to educate. Say, listen, bring your tarp. What do you take in? Just like UTV and
OHV.
Well,
that's not my point. My point is, can the county do something to...
Enforcement is out.
You have the north shooting range, right? And I don't know about out at the Nellis Dunes. I've never really seen a bunch of shooting crap out there.
You know, most of our problem is at mile marker 109. And look, I'm trying to use tortoise money to put damn fencing, and it's taken me 5 years, and then finally getting it done. And it's Taj Mahal fencing on top of it. So it's just hard to fence off those designations because what they want is posting cable, and that's kind of expensive. You know what I mean?
They
won't even settle for something reasonable.
That's what they just did at the old gravel pit right there on the way just past Sloan. They put in that posting cable, and then they put up K-rails, but then they just towed the K-rails out of the way.
It
costs $1 million for every 3/4 mile. $1 million. Spent $5 million to do out there by Tule Springs Monument.
So the cleanups anyway, we're going to get back on task here. That we're looking to do, you know, more, but the first ones would be the one in on March 5th, and then
what
April.
Time, if you guys start early.
Well, they start at 9 a.m. It's already a...
It's late. I'll see what I can do.
If someone could, that would be really good. Or we could get some of our other commissioners.
Where are you going to do it at? Nellis Dunes?
No, that's in April. Nellis Dunes is April. This one's out. Off of near Gene, not on the way to Gene.
Yeah, for sure I won't make it. So.
Yeah,
because I got to be on the east side at 10.
No, but in April we'd like to hopefully tackle the Nellis Dunes area.
If you tell me now, so we are already working with Nellis. If you set that date, we have a big event on the 23rd. We're actually putting in landscaping in front of the Nellis gates.
April 23rd.
Yeah, so it can't be that weekend.
Okay,
but if you tell us, we'll get you 300 volunteers, we'll gen it up for you, we'll provide breakfast. We'll bring our kids down from Spring Mountain Youth Camp because we make them. And they do a great job up at Lee Canyon taking care of all the trails up there so they can learn a thing or two. So
I think that April we're pretty good. I just have to check Moran's schedule. I don't know. See if you have any races in
late April.
Oh, okay. So if we do it before that. Okay, I will. I'll get some prospective dates.
I won't book anything for April to come.
And we'll bug the other commissioners as far as the March 5th.
Yep.
Okay. And then there'll be We're trying to do it like not quarterly, maybe every other month. Hot months, we can't, obviously July and August. But I did meet with the recreational planner, or not recreational planner, but she's a OHV liaison for BLM up in Red Rock area, and some of the trail system up there. So we could possibly do a cleanup in that area during the summer. I'm also Creech Air Force Base. I met with the public relations officer. They're one of the fastest growing. They feel like the stepchild to Nellis Air Force Base, but one of the fastest growing air bases. And they have a huge community out there. So we're planning to hopefully, there's like the riding area out, just like Indian Springs area, and maybe possibly do a cleanup somewhere in that where BLM identifies. They've given us a list, like 10 areas. They don't have the manpower to do it. So it's something that hopefully we can, they can provide materials and equipment, but they just don't have the manpower. So I think if we can probably fill in with volunteers and get the community, not only to just identify the problem areas, maybe get, I would like to get, like I said, with the gun stores and these the gun ranges, and get support behind them to educate. Maybe we can put signage, do a PSA with them, you know, some kind of catchy thing with
well,
them.
Well, here's what I would tell you. You're better off to work with, like, Ducks Unlimited. You're better off to work with the Bighorn Sheep folks, because truly, those are people that are out there shooting. It's not your everyday person. It's not your people that are going to the gun store. But
well, you have to get ammunition. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And they get their supplies.
I know, but I mean, the Ducks Unlimited.
I think it's the same
people.
Guy that went and bought the ATV and then he went about a gun his first time, went out there and started shooting.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's. I think it's just, it is law enforcement, but also education. I just think we haven't, I know the materials, they tried to get the support from the gun stores and whoever.
But I'm just saying it would be better from the Ducks Unlimited, Bighorn Sheep, to go to the gun store.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
To get their buy-in, because, right, their partners, they would be, I can get the shooting park to, you know, host the thing on how it, can they help us keep those stores open, because what, I mean, the true message is, I mean, that's why people start closing them, because if they got to spend hours picking up casings and everything else.
No, I literally, I saw this last cleanup, it was,
all you do
is all gun, target stuff, that's all that we brought in, it was hours of that. And
I can attest to that, I ride Gene every Saturday or something.
It's the worst in the Southwest.
That's 52 times a year I'm out there, and every time I'm out there, I hear it's like the Wild West all around me.
It is, yeah.
There's a lot of children out there, and there's a lot of brass laying around out there. That is not from motorcycles.
No.
But I mean, at the end of the day, that's how I grew up in Nevada, though.
Cracker wrapper.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're not.
You went to Ann Road in Decatur and went shooting.
The ammunition is being bought all over online and wherever. Yeah. But the shootist is the person that just bought a pistol or something over there at the pistol store right after he visited the Carter Motorsports and bought it on his credit card. He still had enough credit to go buy his gun. Now, he is not trained. He probably doesn't even have that hunter education thing. But they're out there and in numbers with their girlfriends and their young brothers and whatnot. And they're all out there untrained, and they're discharging weapons every which way. Now, I am a big supporter of that corridor of the cement things, because they got them off the highway and they're not shooting over the 15 or at me and all my friends. And then when I race Moran out there, they're not shooting over our heads either. And that's a big concern of everyone. And I mean everyone. The Mint. I'm involved with the Mint because I get involved with the motorcycle part of it. We all have concerns about those discharge of weapons out there.
Well, I'm just saying that we should use some of the other organizations. The gun clubs, in all fairness to them, they're very aggressive when you come and talk to them about casings.
I can tell you all about
And so I'm just saying, maybe if we, the Bighorn Sheep, the SHOT Show, if I could get those people to go talk to them on how we can be good stewards and how they can even put some education out or... Because I'll be honest, in the Northwest, and we just did a ride along just to prove it, north of Cheyenne, we've had 600 guns stolen, and we've had over 50 people out shooting that had no business ever owning a gun just because they want to be something, right? So we're trying to figure out how do we get them involved. But I'm happy to call Mike Finley with the SHOT Show and let them do it, because if we approach them, and especially if I approach them, they'll be, oh my God, you're going to take my guns away, when in reality I'm not.
No, and I think we have to come in as a community partner, not, you know, I think
so. Let them help us, because they benefit from OHBs. My husband buys a new one every hunting season, he swears.
And those are great ideas.
He's got to have one.
those are wonderful ideas. I'm going to pass them on at the next Marine.
Yep.
Because we try our best to be ambassadors out there. I don't know how many individuals I've driven over on my bike, and they're kind of looking at me like, oh, and they open up their weapons and stuff, and they go on safe, but... You know, I'm standing there with them. They're shooting over the cross, you know, where the trophy trucks run right there on the lake bed. And I go, hey, you know, there's a lot of children out there. Do you want to go home at night and explain this, you know, where you're not going to sleep well ever the rest of your life knowing you just injured some little kid on your mini bike instead of a ricochet? It's
I know, really but long I grew up gun club, not out here. School, right?
You got to play that game and explain it to them. Just kind of coddle them. Otherwise, you get this and a lot of other language.
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll reach out to the SHOT Show.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you. The other areas we're looking at are BLM identified was Nelson Hills, Coyote Springs, and Logan Del Trail area, which I know Vegas Valley Four Wheels has been heavily involved.
What are you talking about? What is the BLM talking about?
I don't know. That's what they had on their list. You guys, I was just out there.
It's one of the cleanest places in the valley.
It is nice out there.
No, it is. Yeah, it's a beautiful facility. And then we also... The community. Exactly. Also, along with cleanups, public educational forums, and signage, I'm working with three different groups. They do overlanding educational events, but more about, again, just trying to get more resources, such as Matt described, getting information into the hands of our enthusiasts, especially the new ones that are just like going to the store and going and buying their brand new vehicles, trying to put up different events to educate, inform, and hopefully that way we can grow, you know, be a better educated community and more respectful and responsible. So those are our goals, and that's as far as on my task list. I don't know if any, I know Ross, do you have an update on?
I do. So we're in the process of getting the EA submitted to the BLM. The draft is complete. I reviewed it a couple weeks ago. So the consultant is just kind of interfacing with the BLM right now just to see what else he needs to put into it. And then it will be submitted within the next 30 days, probably. Then the BLM goes through the process. And basically what the EA covers, it covers the BLM mileage for the Las Vegas Loop Trail project, Circus Valley Loop Trail project, plus the national parks areas, which are two spurs. One of them goes down to Lake Mead from Boulder City along that to the Gold Pass Road, I think. And then the other one goes down Burrow Wash down to the river.
That's you all the time.
Yeah. But we have to designate it, because without registration, it's off limits with the national parks. And then also national parks wanted to make their rules on both sides of the river the same, because in Arizona, they have street legal OHVs, about a dozen. So all the OHVs in Arizona can use the national parks areas, where in Nevada they can't, unless they have a license plate. So that's going on. And there's maybe 2 to 3 miles of reclamation land that's sort of east of Boulder City, or east Henderson, west Boulder City. There's a couple of key spots in there. That's included in this EA as well. When we get that designated, and I fully anticipate that we will have over 80% of the mileage designated. Because we didn't have to do anything with the Forest Service, because it was already designated out. So we'll have 80%, and then, Marilyn, I'm going to come and see you, because
the county piece up at the top, right?
Well, the city of Henderson has been really, really accommodating and even offered to do underpasses for us, or possibly a bridge across the Wash, which would be great. So they're super supportive, super accommodating. Deborah Marsh is an avid OHVer, You didn't know that? You guys could go riding together.
I know, she's a hunter, too.
So, you know, once I get the whole BLM thing in the books, we start working on the tougher areas, which are Desert National Wildlife Refuge. One of the things that I would really like to have as part of this project is a spur. We've got about six spurs that are sort of proposed. One of them goes to the top of Mount Potosi. Great route, best views in the whole valley. There's a bunch of communication stuff up there that I don't know who has it, is it military or whatnot. But, you know, instead of wiping out, you know, putting a gate at the bottom and wiping out a hugely valuable public asset, why not mitigate with putting up some good barriers on those communication towers and letting the public enjoy that part of the valley? So that would be my pitch to the Forest Service on that. But so there's Desert National Wildlife Refuge, there's Nellis Air Force Base that I did have a meeting with those guys, mm-hmm. and they told me that it's tough, but there's a process. They said it can be done, it's just a difficult process. So as we get a little further down the road, I haven't really been trying to make too much noise until I really want to get this big piece in.
I know, but so here's what I would just tell you. So it's taken me 4 years to get through the Nellis process for Cary Road, right? And I'm just trying to build a road. So if you have what you want, now is the time, because we're going to go through two colonels plus yeah. the Secretary of Defense in the process. But I know some generals that will, by the time we get through the process, might be two or three stars that will help us that have been at Nellis. So, and it's an opportunity for the NTTR. I mean, but they don't get a lot of support from our community, so it's, they're going to ask us to come out and support different things, because we've worked with Nellis on the Alamo connection with Lincoln County at the Desert Wildlife Refuge, and we've been working with NDOT, and we've been working with the environmental communities to actually have a designated route out there. So I would just say that it takes a long time, so you might want to tell me what you have now, because I work with all of them on a regular basis, so we can at least start getting through their hoops, right? Okay. To do the Nellis, I'm trying to put landscaping for free in front of the base, because it's the 75th air show, and it's taken me 2 years to get permission to go put a bunch of rocks. And the only reason they did is because I was making rocks show up in the middle of the night instead, because they got to clean up that neighborhood too. So it is a long process. So now would be the time, and trust me, a colonel will come and go in the process that we keep going. So
okay. I'm more than willing to work with those guys at this point in time. So should I shoot you an email and show you what we have
yep.
in mind?
Okay. So I can start the process with
We'll do it. As far as Boulder City, you know, a couple years ago they did their ballot measure on whether or not to allow ATVs in Boulder City. They did it. It was a really screwed up thing that they did. I think they purposely tried to make it like the extreme of yep. these things are going to be running all mm-hmm. around. When
I'm somebody from Boulder City. You know how it works.
Yeah. The whole time I was promoting, like, just kind of, hey, just have a limited designated route here and let people tap into that, and then you not having them run all over the place. The last meeting I had with these guys was after that ballot measure was done, and it was something like 45% in favor of OHVs and 55 not. But I think it was really a skewed. Had it been done properly, the results might have been reversed. Nonetheless, the last meeting I had with these guys was with pretty much every bureaucrat in Boulder City that had anything to do with anything. So I had the right people in the room, and they were kind of pushing back, and I finally said, are you telling me no? And they wouldn't say that, but what they did say was, get your BLM part in place and come back and see us. It would be great to have them as part of it. We don't really need them because we've, you know, I'm moving forward on a route that basically goes through, Dutchman's Pass and drops down in Boulder City quite a bit. But it would be great to have, you know, that little loop in the Boulder City be a place for services and and this be a big plus. So that's pretty much it. You know, we were delayed probably about a year before COVID. We didn't get any done.
Yeah.
So it's back on track. And
Congressman Horsford has offered, once you get some of those at the BLM issue, to help with out in the other, in the area that he's out in, Nellis Air Force. So
he's the north part of town.
Yep.
So that's going to be tough because there's North Las Vegas, and there's also a couple little pieces from the state of Nevada. But I mean, the routes, there's a good route there. You basically drop down.
Your big issue is Tulip Springs Monument that we have to figure out how to go around.
No, not even think that. I'm going out Gas Peak Road.
Yeah.
So we don't even go close to Tulip. Drop all the way down to the bottom of Gas Peak Road. There's some sort of facility, like a water facility there.
Yep.
That there's got a gate, and if we can get through there, there's a little bit of a Nellis issue there, and then tap into the power line and reach up to Apex. So the route's
I know, but now's the time to do it because we are building the water lines and all the infrastructure pieces.
Right.
So now's the time to at least designate something, and maybe it's the county. I can work with Public Works to designate something as a power line trail or something.
Okay. You want an email or do you want a meeting?
Well, you're gonna have to do both.
Meet with me.
So send me an email first so I can get it on my schedule. But listen, I'm sorry I gotta go because I promised my husband that dinner would be at 6:15.
Well, we have to end it. Yeah, we have to end it.
If you need help from Boulder City.
Yeah. Is Kenny?
I'm 15.
I'm 15.
I got informed by the BLM that the new BO by the Fish and Wildlife has eliminated a lot of mileage on the old mid track on north of Paso Road. They didn't do the BO on it, so they won't let us race over there anymore.
But we're taking back Papco Road because we've struggled with the folks out there. So it was a patent. North Las Vegas tried to annex it. We said, nope. So Clark County is actually going to maintain that road so that you will be able to.
Well, but the Fish and Wildlife, when they did their last BO, didn't do a biological opinion on the race courses that were out there since 1975. They didn't do it. So now to be
honest. Our understanding, though, is we're going through the patent process. We get some of that back because it wasn't documented either way on either side, and we got to start over. So that's our understanding with the county.
Because I applied for a permit that was turned down by the BLM because that's not in the BO anymore.
Well, the BLM turned it down because they couldn't get side off from Papco.
That's
the truth. Also, they didn't happen the Moran race, and then
And I know you were going to speak with them, but things kind of overlap or whatever.
Yeah, and so that's what. But we had already been in the process because North Las Vegas was trying to annex it for a regular road, and you have to be mindful of Nellis and everything else out there. So
they also eliminated everything on the west side of I-15 out of Prim. They did do the VO on that. That wasn't added to it either.
I don't know much about I-15, but if it's in District B, I work really hard to protect it.
No complaints. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Kenny.
I'm yelling at gas for the first time.
You're not yelling, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, is there any other updates on our task list for tonight?
That's it.
Okay,
we're good?
Sorry.
We have one last public. You're good. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you very much. We have one last section of public comment. Anybody want to speak? Forever? Not forever. Hold your peace. just till the next meeting. Or you can contact, and at any time you can reach out to us. I can give you my email information, or you can contact Amelia. We'd love to work together. Or if you want to be involved in the cleanups, please let me know. I know I reached out to Dunes and Trail, a couple of people that I met at the Mint 400. So we'd love to, be involved. Thank you.
Debbie, real quick, clean up stuff. So
That is fully fundable under the Ohio Street Grant Program.
But I have to complete a grant, so we have to do it for this next session for the other half of the year. So no, I want to get your help with that. That'd be great. I have actually a couple of things. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. I know it's tough getting here. Our next meeting is March 30th. Amelia, thank you. And they're working. That's off the record now.